HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Tom Lake, a novel by Ann Patchett, performed by Meryl Streep. For Kate DiCamillo, who held the lantern high. Chapter 1. That Veronica and I were given keys and told to come early on a frozen Saturday in April to open the school for the R-Town auditions was proof of our dull reliability. The play's director, Mr. Martin, was my grandmother's friend and State Farm agent. That's how I was wrangled in, through my grandmother. And Veronica was wrangled because we did pretty much everything together. Citizens of New Hampshire could not get enough of our town. We felt about the play the way other Americans felt about the Constitution or the Star-Spangled Banner. It spoke to us, made us feel special and seen. Mr. Martin predicted a large turnout for the auditions, which explained why he needed use of the school gym for the day. The community theater production had nothing to do with our high school. But seeing as how Mr. Martin was also the principal's insurance agent and very likely his friend, the request was granted. Ours was that kind of town. We arrived with our travel mugs of coffee and thick paperback novels, Firestarter for Veronica and Dr. Zhivago for me. I liked school fine, but hated the gym and everything it stood for. Team sports, pep rallies, vicious games of kickball, running in circles when it was too cold to go outside, formal dances, graduations. But on that Saturday morning, the place was empty and strangely beautiful. The sunlight poured in through the narrow windows just below the roof line. I don't think I'd ever realized the gym had windows. The floors and the walls and the bleachers were all made of the same strips of pale wood. The stage was on one end, behind the basketball hoop, its heavy red curtains pulled back to reveal matte black nothingness. That's where the action was scheduled to take place. We had instructions to set up one banquet table and five folding chairs in front of the stage, close, but not too close, Mr. Martin had told us. And then, 92 feet away, under the opposing basketball hoop, we were to set up a second banquet table, right in front of the doors to the lobby. That second table was for registration, which was our job. We wrestled the two folding tables from the storage closet. We brought out folding chairs. We were to spend our morning explaining how to fill out the form. Name, stage name, if different, height, hair color, age, in categories of 7 years, please check one. Phone number. The hopefuls had been asked to bring a headshot and a resume, listing all the roles they'd played before. We had a cup full of pens. For people who arrived without resumes, there was space to write things in, and Veronica was prepared to take a Polaroid of anyone who didn't have a headshot and then paperclip it to the form. Mr. Martin told us we weren't to make anyone feel embarrassed for having less experience because, and this was what he actually said, sometimes that's where the diamonds are. But Veronica and I were not theater girls. Theater girls had not been asked to do this job in case they wanted to try out for a part. We were regular girls who would have had no idea how to make adults feel judged based on their lack of theatrical experience. Once we had the person's paperwork, we were to hand over the pages they would be asked to read from, which Mr. Martin told us were called sides, along with a number printed on a square of paper, and then we would direct them back out to the lobby to wait. When the doors opened at 8 o'clock, so many people flooded in that Veronica and I had to hustle back to our table to get ahead of the crowd. We were instantly, overwhelmingly at work. Yes, I assured one woman and then another. If you read for Mrs. Gibbs, you'll still be considered for Mrs. Webb. What I didn't say, though it was rapidly becoming evident, was
Sample complete. Ready to continue?